As part of my recent birthday celebration, my family and I went to an escape room for the very first time, an experience that actually proved to be a lot of fun, and it was a big hit with everybody, from my kids to my parents. But as Alex Baker tells us, the owners of the place have just as much fun as I did.
With that fun comes a lot of energy and excitement, and that's just a joy to be a part of day in and day out.
Our youth holds the future in their hands, and Conexiones of Howard County is an organization that works with our local Hispanic youth to bring us all a better future.
We want to basically ensure that each Hispanic student in Howard County can complete high school.
And if you're planning a wedding or special event, you'll want to stick around and hear from the experts at Historic Oakland.
And you want to make sure that your venue is booked, because that's where you want to start, is your venue. Then you move on to your catering. What people remember most about your weddings is location, 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 and the food.
These stories coming up in today's episode of HOCO Journal, starting right now. Hi, and welcome to HOCO Journal, the show where we highlight the unique and interesting people, businesses, nonprofit organizations, and events happening right here in Howard County. I am your host, Cris Oviedo. Education is one of the most valuable things that we can give our young people. Many great historical figures have spoken time and again of the tremendous importance and impact education has, not only on the individuals receiving it, but on society as a whole. The latest statistics reported as of 2016 show that even though there is a slow increase of high school graduation rate in the nation, there's still a big disparity among white students and students of color. Specific to our conversation today, I want to turn your attention to the existing gap between white and Hispanic students right here in Maryland, where 92% of white students graduate from high school, while only 76% of Hispanic students do so. In efforts to close this gap, Conexiones Howard County is an organization that focuses its efforts on helping Hispanic youth right here in our county. They want them to achieve high school graduation and further their school careers beyond that point. And to tell us more about this nonprofit, today in studio with me, I have Xiomara Calderon Colon, and my Spanish is going to flow today because I have somebody else in the studio that's Hispanic with me, and she is the co-president of Conexiones here in Howard County. Welcome to our studio.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I want to talk about Conexiones. I think it's a very well-kept secret here in Howard County, and I want to talk to you about it, but I also want to get to know, first of all, a little bit more about you, because you have an interesting background. Reading your bio on the website for Conexiones, it's not intuitive that you would be involved with a organization that helps students, because you're a scientist. So tell me a little more about how is it that you got involved with Conexiones, and, you know, tell us a little bit more about yourself, about your background, who you are, and then how did that connect into Conexiones?
So I'm born and raised in Puerto Rico. I come from a family where my parents are divorced, and when I was in high school, I didn't know what I want to study. So at that point, I knew I want to help people. And for me at that time was, okay, if I'm a pharmacist, I can help people when they get sick. But when I start looking into college, I decide, let me get a bachelor's degree in chemistry. And after that, I potentially can apply to the School of Pharmacy and become a pharmacist. But during my college year, I was able to work on undergraduate research, and I fell in love with that. And after that, I had an opportunity to come to the mainland and did a summer internship here, actually in Maryland, at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and I fell in love with polymers. After that, I decided, after my 4 years in college, I want to go to grad school. So back in 2005, I decided to move to the mainland and start the graduate school journey, and I got a PhD in material science. After that, I came back to Maryland for a full-time job at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory, and a person that basically recruited me one time reached me and asked me, there is this math teacher that would like to have someone in their classroom sharing their story. And I went to this school that was probably 1 hour far away where I live currently. And I basically share my story from when I come here with very limited English until the point that I was able to get my doctorate degree. And when I left the school, I left with this sense of reward and so happy. And I said, by sharing my story, I can potentially motivate others, students, to keep going and overcome the obstacle that life can bring to them and be, you know, successful in their career choices. And at one point at work, Felisola Carter, she used to be our president, she came to talk about Conexiones. And I felt the connection there where I could potentially help the Hispanic students because I'm part of this Hispanic community. And by basically something as simple as sharing my story, I can potentially motivate them and encourage them to keep going and get higher education.
That's wonderful. Now I understand where the connection came from, because when I was reading your bio, I was like, wait a minute, but she has no education background here. So, and Conexiones, from what I understand, it's like an educational, I want to say it's like a, not a broker, but it's like a helping hand for students, right? So it's like geared towards education. It's geared towards the Latino community, trying to really connect with them and help them, empower them towards education. So with that said, why don't you tell us what Conexiones is all about?
So Conexiones is a all-volunteers organization that was established back in 2000, basically in response of the need of the Hispanic Latino community in Howard County schools. Was established back by Dr. Simon, and he served as a president until 2007. After that, Felisola Carter, she was our president, and she did a tremendous job. And basically, our goal is to advocate for our Hispanic youth, making sure and encourage them to complete high school, and also to help them and motivate them to get into higher education and have, you know, a successful career choices for the benefit of them, their life, their families, and eventually the benefit of the nation.
So what's the mission that Conexiones has?
So we want to basically ensure that each Hispanic student in Howard County can complete high school and basically motivate them to keep going. But at the same time, we want to continue, you know, building those relationships that we have with the school system in order to advocate for our student to basically change policy practices in order to, you know, keep them moving forward and just for the benefit of them.
Now, why would it be important to have a organization like this that's focused specifically on the Hispanic Latino community and encouraging the children, the Hispanic children? Isn't that maybe the parents' job or the school's job?
I think it's important to have role models, in my opinion. I think that can be a very powerful message to our youth. And if I look myself around, it's different when I was in Puerto Rico, where I was able to see doctors that looks like me, teachers, lawyers, you name it. I think it's a little bit different here in the mainland, because now we are surrounded by a lot of different people. And sometimes in our community, we don't have those role models. And it's important for us to encourage our people by showing them, hey, you can do this because that you have the potential, you will be able to reach your goals. And at the same time, look at them and say, oh, yes, I know a Hispanic engineer. I know a Hispanic lawyer. And I think the power of role models and understanding that you can reach your goals, I think it's an important thing for us as an organization.
I agree with you. I think it's very, very empowering to see, to break the stigmas, to break,
Absolutely.
You know, those preconceived ideas that we have that certain people of certain race are only good for this type of jobs or this type of businesses, right? So it's very, very important to show our youth that that's not true, that we can, and it's very attainable. It's very, very, it takes hard work. It
takes, as everything in life.
It takes commitment, but it can certainly be done. We can break those preconceived ideas and create a future, the future that we want to create for ourselves.
And I absolutely agree with you. It's breaking those stigma, motivate and encourage our youth, I think, is an important piece in the goal that we have as an organization.
Now, do you know a little bit about the history of Conexión? As you mentioned, the founder back in 2000, do you know why he felt the need to start with Conexión?
He saw a need in our Hispanic kids, right? Probably sometimes people think that one of our barriers could be the language. Necessarily, I don't agree with that because I feel children's are very capable to learn a language in no time. If I put myself when I was back 23 and I came with very limited English, I was able to learn the language. And sometimes people think it's a language barrier, but I don't take it as general. Yeah, some kids will have problem with the language, but it's not the common theme here. I think that's a barrier that sometimes people has that potentially is not true for all the cases. So I think at that point he saw a need in that area, and that's the reason why he wants to basically advocate for our Hispanic youth.
How powerful to break barriers, to create a foundation just to help kids break barriers. I think that's fantastic. I admire that quite a bit. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening right now with Conexiones and some of the programs that are available through the foundation.
So for us, it's very important to recognize the achievement of our students. And right now we have a call for the Conexiones Award. And basically the goal of that night will be to recognize our students, their achievements. And we have right now a call that's open. Any senior student in high school can apply for this award. And we are basically, it's a celebration of their achievement and it's their night. And the call is open until May 15. So any high school senior student that meet the requirement of the call can apply. And we are very looking forward to basically recognize their achievement during that event.
And do you recognize their achievement with like a certain prize, or how is this recognition given to the students?
We do have different prizes during that night. And basically what for us is very important, that recognition, that celebration of their achievement. It's not so much about the prize. It's mm-hmm. about like basically highlighting all the great things that they have done, they have accomplished at this point, and basically encouraging them to keep moving forward, higher education, get a very successful, you know, career choices and move their life forward.
And is there any specific things that you guys are looking for in the kids who might apply for the award? Is there any specific criteria that you guys have in order for them to apply?
We do look at the GPA for them, but we also look at different components, like, for example, community service. We look at what things that they are doing beside work, basically the work that they are doing during their school year. We look at different aspects because for us it's very important to recognize all the different aspects. It's not just having good grade, but also sometimes it's important to give back to your community, help. And those are the aspects that we look for. Sometimes we also look the leadership that they have, right? A lot of the students are involved in many different activities. So basically we look at everything. just to make sure we recognize those achievement that they have been getting over the years. And so it's a package. We look at a little bit of everything when we decide to recognize our students.
That's great. So if you know of somebody who is a senior in a Howard County high school and you feel that they not only are a good student, but they're also a good person, they show good character, you know, maybe you want to nominate them or you want to have them reach out to Conexiones and be part of this award. Why not? Why not get, you know, recognition for all the good things that you're doing? Because kids do a lot of wonderful, wonderful things. I also know that you guys did this past fall in 2017 STEM Festival, the Hispanic Latino STEM Festival. Is that something that you guys are planning on doing again this year?
We were part of the organizing committee. And yes, for us, STEM, which stand for science, technology, engineering, and math, we are looking forward to show to our students what is STEM about. And as a scientist, for me, it's sometimes our student doesn't have those role models. So this is another potential career choices that they have, in addition to the traditional, you know, careers that they might know. So this is another opportunity for them to get exposed to very different fields of.
And you know, math is one of the most intimidating subjects
in
school.
Yes, could be.
from the moment we're little up until we graduate, a lot of us, like majority of us, I think, feel intimidated by it. So to have these opportunities to come and see that math not only is not intimidating, is something that we are already using every single day of our lives in everything that we do. If there's one thing in school other than language that we use on a daily basis, it's math. Yet we feel so intimidated by it and so scared by it. And we, you know, we kind of like shy away from it. It's so nice to see programs like this where we are empowering our youth to look at and really realize that you're already doing this. And yes, there's more complex things that you're going to learn in classes, right? But you're already applying a lot of those concepts just by what you're doing on a daily basis. So I think it's fantastic, because then we are, like you say, you were saying, you're encouraging kids to maybe take a path that seemed unattainable, you know, or impossible, that only seemed good for other people, but not for Latino kids.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. Math is every day you do something related with math, and it's very important. That's a foundation of a lot of different study fields that you could potentially be at. You need to know math. And for us, it's important to let our kids know that, yeah, it could be very intimidated at first, but as everything, you know, it's practice, is the commitment, is trying new things that you never know, down the road, you will fall in love with a subject, and that might be in the future be your future career, and you will be a professional in those different type of fields that are not that common for Hispanic.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And to be sitting here in the studio today with a scientist, I mean, you guys just have no idea how like privileged I am. Now, Xiomara, I know that all great things need money in order to work, in order to be successful. So can you tell us more about where funding comes from for Conexiones?
So as I said, we are a nonprofit organization. We also depend on funding or people that donate. And we are always open for those donations. Our goal always is to use that money towards our youth. And anyone that wants to be part of Conexione is very welcome in any shape, way, or form. If it's a monetary donation, if you want to be part of our board, we open any type of help that we could potentially use. And for us, it's all about the students. Most of our funding goes to our students. And as I said, we are all volunteers, right? We do this because we have a commitment. We are very passionate. We care a lot about our Hispanic youth. And any type of help, we welcome anything.
And for people who might be listening to this podcast or this program and want to get involved either as a volunteer or maybe with donations, what's the best way that they can get in touch with Conexiones?
You can go online and look our website, and you will be able to see our email address. We will be responding any type of email that we receive, and anything that you want to get us in contact, that will be the best way. Email us and we will be getting back to you.
And can we remind everybody of the website?
So we are conexioneshc.org or O-R-E-G, and feel free to go there. Our email address is out there, and we welcome any type of help if you want to give us some monetary donation, as well if you want to be part of Conexiones.
And what's the process to apply for the Conexiones Award? Let's remind just everybody first that you can apply for the award until March 15th, and just let's let them know exactly what they need to do in order to apply for it.
The best way to go there, go to our website. Right there, you are going to be able to find the instruction, and also you are going to be able to find the online application. It's very simple. You can do it in no time, and it's very straightforward. It's nothing that you are going to get crazy or you are going to invest a lot of time. It's very straightforward, very simple. We are looking at your GPA. We are looking at community service, any different activities that show your leadership. That's what we are looking for. Very simple.
So go to conexioneshc.org and click on the application there. I'm pretty sure that it's right on the home page. So first at the top of the home page, so you cannot miss it. Before I let you go, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
We are here to help you. We are here because we are very committed with our Hispanic youth. Anything that we can do to help and encourage you, we are here to serve our community.
So get in touch with Conexiones if you are Hispanic or Latino, or if you know somebody who's Hispanic or Latino and might be looking for resources. Get in touch with Conexiones. Maybe when you contact them, the issue you have at hand or that you need help with might not be something that they can assist you with, but I know for a fact that they can refer you to the different resources in the community and help you, just guide you to navigate and find the right resources for whatever it is that you're looking for. Xiomara, thank you so much for coming into our studio today.
Thank you so much for having me.
For Hookah Journal, I am Cris Oviedo, and we'll be right back. 6 o'clock on Fridays and 10 a.m. on Saturdays is Fiesta Time with me, your friend, tu amiga, Cris Oviedo. The one and only show en español, El Dragón Te Trae Caliente. Cris Oviedo, join me every Friday, 6 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. Take me with you. Download the app for the iPhone or for the Android. We are Dragon Digital Radio. Don't forget, Caliente.
For Hoco Journal, I'm Alex Baker. Located right here in Howard County, Breakout Games is a set of real-life games where you and your friends follow clues and solve puzzles to escape a room before the clock runs out. With me here today is the manager of Breakout Games in Columbia, Adam Walker. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate you having me on today.
So first question we'll just get us started off with is just tell us a little bit about what Breakout Games is.
Yeah, Breakout Games is an escape room. So we put people in a room for an hour, and they're working through a series of clues, riddles, puzzles. There's a scavenger component to it with the ultimate goal of trying to beat the clock and get everything complete before their hour expires. So we have 6 rooms here at our Columbia location. We can do about 45 people in an hour. We're seeing lots of family and friends, birthday parties, bachelorette party. We also do a lot of team building for companies and organizations and sports teams and different sort of groups that want to come in and have fun together. What happens is you book beforehand online or by giving us a call. You choose your adventure or experience, and then you come into play for that hour.
So it's interesting. So how did exactly did Breakout Games get created? What's its history behind its creation?
Yeah, so the kind of the genre of escape rooms originated in around 2007. 2007, 2008 in Japan. And so they started out as video games, as like point and click discovery video games. And someone was like, let's make these actual physical rooms. So that was around 2008. And then they kind of spread from Japan through Asia and then Europe. And they hit the United States about 2012. It's a fairly new industry. And around 2014 is when they really started to grow and kind of took off. So Breakout Games, so I'm the local owner of the one here in Columbia, and we're part of our company, Breakout Games, has 43 locations across the U.S. So we're actually the biggest escape room company in the United States now. And it's been a lot of fun to watch this industry grow and evolve over the past couple years.
And so I imagine how big has this the Breakout Games has taken across in America?
Yeah. So we've certainly been a part of that. So Breakout started in around 2014, fall of 2014. And so when I came on board, and the Columbia location has been open for about 16 months. So there's a period,
So you're pretty brand new.
Right when Columbia opened, that we went from our company went from about 20 locations to about 43 within a year. So it's been a lot of fun to be a part of that, and just to see, different cities around the country just welcoming Breakout into their communities and coming out for team building and a chance to have a lot of fun with family and friends.
And so we were talking a little bit beforehand, before the interview started, and you said not only do you work as the manager at the Columbia location, but you kind of wear a lot of different hats. So you like do it in Baltimore and a couple other places as well, right?
Yeah, so kind of my role within Breakout is I locally own the two in the Baltimore market. So we have one in Columbia, one in Timonium, near Towson, right outside the Beltway up on the north side. And I'm in a district manager role as well. So I'm over seven locations kind of in the northeast area of the country. So I oversee the managers there. So I'll travel sporadically to Boston and Syracuse and Rochester. And we have a location down in D.C. and Falls Church. And just to kind of make sure operationally those locations are doing well and we're delivering a great experience for everyone that walks through our doors.
So what made you want to be take this job as manager? Was it just to be part of something that's really taking off in America?
I had known the guys that started Breakout, and they approached me and asked me to invest and open a couple locations here in Baltimore. So it's been a great fit. Had a lot of fun with it and been able to learn a lot. I was in the ad tech industry before this, and I was with a company that helped place mobile banner ads on people's phones.
Oh, really?
And whenever I told people I did that, people were like, oh, like you're the guy who like comes up with those ads, like those annoying ads. And that was kind of everyone's reaction. And I tell you what, Alex, it's so much fun going from that environment to being in an industry where people are really excited to come play Breakout. You know, when they walk through our doors, it's often the highlight of their day, if not their week. And that's because they're with their family, they're with their friends, they're with their coworkers, and they're getting a chance to step outside of the office, and they're working together as a team to try to solve these challenges and puzzles. And so to be a part of Breakout, I get to be invited into that energy and excitement each and every day, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, and so, you know, you've been talking about all the Breakout Games and all the rooms and everything, so I have them listed down right now in my questions. So the first one I want to ask you about is, tell us about what the kidnapping is. I saw that first on your website.
Yeah, so let me first start by saying that none of our rooms, we're not a haunted house, and so that's kind of where we differ from some other escape rooms. Most escape rooms don't take that approach, but there are some that do, that take that scare or spook aspect to their rooms. Our kidnapping and hostage rooms, you do start off blindfolded and handcuffed. You're handcuffed in front, not behind. And the blindfolds are used just to really get you in the room, and as soon as the game starts, you're taking the blindfolds off. And then your first puzzle in both our kidnapping and hostage room is you have to work together as a team to get out of your handcuffs. So you're usually only in the handcuffs for the first 5 minutes or so of the game. So the scenario for kidnapping is you've been kidnapped and you're trying to make your way out before time expires. So, you know, you start out in this kind of, it feels like a cellar almost. Hostage, the premise of that is you were on a plane that was hijacked and you wake up in the hijacker's headquarters and you're trying to figure out who hijacked the plane. Our other rooms, Mystery Mansion is available at our Columbia location. That's probably my personal favorite. It's our newest room. It opened up last summer. You're entering an abandoned mansion to find a lost valuable. in that scenario. And then we have our casino room. All of our rooms have math involved with them, and you can't use your phones in our rooms, which is always fun to see people do math on our dry erase boards. But casino probably has the most math out of all of our rooms, and you know, you have the red carpet, the gold walls, the blackjack, the roulette wheel. You feel like you're in an actual casino. The premise of that one is there was a robbery at the casino, and you're trying to figure out who robbed the casino. So you're working through kind of a series of aliases, almost a 007 James Bond feel.
Yeah, cool.
And then our museum heist is entering into a art thief's home to try to recover a stolen painting to get it back to the museum before the museum opens and they're caught without their valuable work of art. And then we do have an island escape concept that is not at our Columbia location. It's up at our Timonium location. And the premise of that is you're trying to get off the island before the lava gets to you. So we have like a boat and volcano and palm trees all kind of themed in a room. I'm really excited, Alex. We're getting, it's called Do Not Disturb. It's our newest concept. We'll be getting that here at our Columbia location sometime in February. It should be opening. It's very tech-heavy, so our rooms have increasingly become more sophisticated from a technology standpoint, and this one only has, I think, about 3 locks in the whole room. The rest is tech. It's all sensors, and it's all been programmed and connected to the Internet, and as players are moving about the room and doing different things and triggering things, they'll be triggering things to happen throughout their gameplay.
Yeah, so when you're creating these, when you're coming up with the original concepts for all these rooms and all these scenarios, I mean, that must be, I can imagine just how fun that would be, because like, well, how do we do this, and how do we do this, and we got to make sure this happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite a process. It's pretty intensive. There's a lot of hours that go into planning our rooms. We have a team in engineers, of engineers in Kentucky we're based out of that help design these rooms and integrate the technology and all the different clues. We have everything from Arduinos, Raspberry Pis, bright signs, which are all programmable computer units that are controlling things throughout the room. We have lasers, black lights, there's actual puzzles, and there's a lot of physical clues and props. So it's a pretty intensive process that they go through to come up with the room, to come up with the final design, the set of the room. Now, on top of that, Alex, the challenge then becomes when you're designing these actual clues, how do we make something that's difficult for a group but not impossible? And so, you know, we have a ton of variables as far as what can happen in our room, or who's in our rooms. You know, for example, we could have a room full of kids celebrating a birthday party. We could have a room full of engineers that work together every day and function at a very high level as far as a team goes, and that is really that thinks about all these problems and math, and it, you know, could be geared towards solving a lot of things in a room very quickly. And so the challenge would be, and the other thing is, you could have 2 players in our room. You only need a minimum of 2 people to play, or you could have our rooms hold between 7 to 8 depending on the theme.
Cool.
And so the challenge becomes, how do we take a room that has all these variables as far as who's actually in the room, and the number of players and their backgrounds and their strengths and abilities, and how do we make it difficult but not impossible,
and
doable?
And I imagine that you, like you talked earlier, where you could have something like kids at a birthday party who may not even like hang out with each other all that much. And then, like, you know, like you said, the engineers, these extremely talented engineers who are working with each other. I imagine there's always a difficulty level you got to adjust.
Yeah, that's part of the challenge, is we don't want people to break out of our rooms in 30 minutes, which I've never seen a group break out that quickly, because then they're going to leave feeling like, you know, where's the challenge in that? On the flip side, we don't want a group to only get halfway through a room and feel like they were crushed and defeated and it was impossible. And, you know, they got stuck on something for 30 minutes. And they didn't. And if they only get halfway through the room, they don't even get to experience half the cool things in our room. So, you know, we kind of design our rooms with hoping to bring the game down to the wire, because that's what makes it fun and exciting. There's also a game master that monitors the game. So they monitor it via video cameras, and they have two-way audio so they can hear everything going on in the room. They have an intercom system to talk to the players in the rooms.
Cool.
And they're there to provide hints if people get stuck. So people can always ask for a hint and the Game Master will provide one to keep the game moving along.
So I got to ask, so you have all these people with, you know, and they have a certain amount of time. Do you have like leaderboards or anything where, like, you know, the shortest amount of time, like best record, do you keep statistics like that?
Yeah, we do not. I'll tell you, the majority of players don't get out, but we still have a fair number that do. If a group gets out with greater than 10 minutes left, they're doing really well. They've done a great job in that room.
One thing I wondered, I know holiday season is pretty much over now, but during the holiday season, whether it's like Halloween or Christmas time, do you do anything special for that time just during the holiday season?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have had a Halloween themed room and a Christmas themed room. So a year and a half ago, right after we opened, our Columbia location didn't have that, but several other locations across the country did have a Halloween themed room. And then last Christmas, we had a Christmas caper room. We did have that at our Columbia location.
Cool.
And the premise of that was Santa lost his hat in the Elf Workshop, and you had to work together as a team to find Santa's hat before Christmas struck, and Christmas starts without Santa's hat. So that was a lot of fun. We had a lot of people that really enjoyed that room.
And I was wondering, since you've only been around since fall of 2014 here in Columbia, have you reached out and worked with other organizations around Howard County?
We've had a ton of corporate groups that have come in that have come in now several times. I mean, posted everyone from Target, Amazon, Walmart, Nationwide, Wells Fargo, to all kinds of tech companies in the area. Tenable, I know, has been here a ton of times. So it's a lot of fun to see groups come in as a corporate team in play. And kind of the unique thing about Breakout, Alex, is we're able to provide an experience that is both fun, but it also has a true sense of team building. And so when you think about corporate groups looking to do team building, you think, do we, A, bring in someone to talk about our feelings or to, you know, take a test and talk about our personality types? Or B, do we go, you know, bowling and get pizza afterwards? And both of those are great, but they're kind of two different approaches to how you're going to do team building. And we've been able to have that fun component, but also the team building component intersect in a very high level and, I think, a unique way. So our rooms are a lot of fun, but there's also a true team building component. You have to communicate in our rooms. You have to work together as a team. There's people playing different roles in the room, people solving different things. And so that's a lot of fun. The other couple great things about Breakout is we get people off their phones for an hour. You know, we had a lot of people come in over Christmas break with their families. You know, I bet there's a good chance that was the only waking hour that entire family was off their phone for that the whole duration of it.
Yeah.
The other pieces with that is, a simple example is I've seen a corporate group come in. They work remotely, and some of them meet for the first time at Breakout. And you can tell things are a little stiff and awkward. It's like, oh, here's this person that I've been emailing and talking with on a daily basis, and we're now meeting. At the end of their experience, you can tell they're a lot more comfortable with each other. And the reason why is because when we put people in these rooms, they have to work together as a team to solve these challenges. And so it's like, I don't care whatever else is going on in our lives. You're completely disconnected and unplugged for that from an hour. It's like, we got 60 minutes to try to get out of here, go. And so they're presented with all these challenges. And on the other side of that experience comes a deepened sense of fellowship, relationship, and community.
So you've talked about all the things you enjoy. Of all those things, if you could narrow it down to one, what is the one thing you just enjoy most about Breakout Games and, you know, doing your job?
From a relational standpoint, I think I really believe in what Breakout does for the groups that come in here to experience it together. And then it's also just, like I said, one of our core values is to have fun. So our core values are do good, be better, have fun. And so, you know, there's no bones about it. We don't hide the fact, you know, we're providing this experience so people can have a lot of fun. And like I said earlier, with that fun comes a lot of energy and excitement. And that's just a joy to be a part of day in and day out.
Okay, so I'm getting close to the end of my questions here. Is there anything else that you want to bring up about Breakout Games?
A couple other things I would add is, you know, we're open 7 days a week. We'll start games as early as 10 a.m. On Sundays. And on Friday and Saturday, our last games start at midnight. And then weekdays, our last games start at 10:40. So you can play pretty much any day or hour that you're looking to bring your team. We also have team building packages available during weekdays. That includes a debrief curriculum that has questions around team dynamics and the different roles people played. So we supply that to group leaders to have them lead discussions after they leave our facility. It also allows for private experiences and custom start times, so you can have all your games start and end together. So so that'd be one other thing I'd mention, that if anyone's interested in bringing their team, we do have that available if you contact us via our website or give us a call.
Okay, then that actually helps leads into my last question, is tell the listeners where they can go to learn more about Breakout Games.
Yeah, our website's breakoutgames.com, and then it'll prompt you to choose your market or your location, and where the Columbia location is considered the Baltimore market. So when you hit Baltimore, then if you hit play now in the top right corner, it'll ask you want to play at our Timonium or Columbia location. So you can just select Columbia there to see what games, dates, and times we have available. Our phone number and address is also listed on our website, as well as if you just Google Breakout Games Columbia, we'll pop right up on Google or Google Maps. And then if anyone has any other questions, they're welcome to give us a call. Our number's listed on Google and on our website.
Adam, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Alex. I really appreciate you having me on.
Glad to have you. For Hilco Journal, I'm Alex Baker, and we'll be right back on Dragon Digital Radio.
I'm getting a big hug from Smokey Bear, because before I left my campfire, I drowned it out, stirred it, and drowned it out again until it was cold. Visit SmokeyBear.com to learn tips to prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Howard County Journal. Matt Trudell here today. And in studio, I actually have a good friend of mine, a coworker from one of my many other jobs. I have the facility coordinator from Historic Oakland Manor, which is right down the street, and her name is Latasha Fisher. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Well, I'm excited. This is actually, so technically, my second Historic Oakland interview on this show ever.
Really?
Yes. I did this how I originally ever heard about Historic Oakland Manor was I did a interview with somebody, I mean like 3-4 years ago, about the Holiday Craft Fair.
Oh, that's one of my favorite events besides the showcase. Yes.
Yeah. So I invited these people. I had no idea where Historic Oakland Manor was. I still didn't know, honestly, until I came for the interview, I still had no idea where it actually was.
Yeah, we're kind of tucked away. I've had people live in the community over 50 years, and they still don't know we're there. And they're so shocked when they come back and they see that we're there. And we also have an African-American museum back there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, that was really busy there when I was there last night.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
There was a bunch of people there.
Oh,
I don't know if it, like, it was partially looked like they were either looking at the Bishop's Garden or they were coming out of the museum.
Well, we do have a Juneteenth event coming up. Okay. They might be working together with that.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Scoping the scene.
Yep.
So, let's start just basic information about you. Give us a little bit of info about what you do at Historic Oakland. I know what you do, but the listeners don't.
So, I originally started about 4 years ago in your position as event coordinator or hostess, and that was part-time. And they eventually moved me up to full-time, so now I'm the facility coordinator. Started there about a year ago doing that. And I pretty much do tours. I write contracts for those interested in renting the facility. We are over 200 years old. We're a venue over 200 years old. And we're also a community center. So we do rent it out for different occasions, and I am the primary contact for that.
Okay, so speaking on the events that you guys rent out for, what kind of events?
We do almost everything. Our biggest events would be weddings. We do mitzvahs, anniversaries, birthdays, anything you can think of. We pretty much give you the facility, and whatever you can come up with, you're welcome to.
And also, not just social events, but meetings.
We definitely host meetings.
That's something to probably plug also.
Yep, we do meetings during the day and evenings. We do a few weekend meetings.
And you can even learn to swing dance there.
Yeah, we have swing dance classes.
Probably one of the coolest things that we offer, because you wouldn't expect that. You know, like meetings make sense, Sweet 16s, all that stuff makes sense. But swing dancing,
swing dance,
you don't,
every,
you know,
Wednesday, 7 to 9.
Yeah. I've worked it a few times. They're cool people.
Yeah.
I like them.
We always have cool people.
You're right. So, the biggest question, and I actually had this when I was working there the other night. and I kind of guesstimated, but you'd be the perfect person to go to with this answer, is how long in advance do you recommend people book their events?
As far in advance as possible.
Okay.
And I cannot stress that enough. I've had people want dates that go very next day. Mm-hmm. If it's not booked. And the dates I would say that are most popular, if you're in a numerology, if you do 8/8/18, 7/7/17, dates like that go super quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that your venue is booked, because that's where you want to start, is mm-hmm. your venue. Then you move on to your catering. What people remember most about your weddings is location, 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 and the food.
Yeah.
So as soon as you know your date, start booking. Start looking around and get your date okay. in stone.
Yeah. Of course, like I was telling the people last night, they were looking for sometime during our down months. I was like, we might not be able to get your exact date then,
mm-hmm.
but we'd be able to fit it in that block.
Yep. Typically, I always ask no guests if they're flexible. I will find something for you.
Yeah.
And our down times are usually January and February, and we actually offer a discount.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to do a wedding during those months, definitely message me, give me a call.
And I think that's smart. You know, I mean, I would imagine stuff that happens during the weekday, necessarily you might have more flexibility, but
yeah, and our weekdays are actually cheaper. You can get almost half off if you choose to do a wedding, even on a Thursday. Tell your guests to take off the Friday, enjoy your Thursday, have a 3-day weekend, and get it for half the price. Spend your money on something else. Get some really awesome floral arrangements. Go on a great honeymoon.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to spend all of your money on the venue itself.
That's also how you wean a lot of the people you don't want to go to your wedding out.
There you go. That is true.
Now, during weekday weddings, do you do them during the day also?
Yeah.
Okay.
We do them from 7 in the morning up until 11 p.m.
I had that. I fielded that as a question on a tour that I did recently where they were like, we want like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's fine.
We can do it. Yep.
But some venues, I don't think, does that. So
probably not.
That's one thing I was, when I give people tours, uh-huh. I typically tell them that like there are a couple things that we have going over other places.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pick a caterer from a particular list.
Correct. As long as they're licensed, you're welcome to bring in whoever you like. We actually have Mission Barbecues coming to our showcase.
I had Mission Barbecue last night.
Yeah, really good. If you have a favorite restaurant, have them cater. A lot of restaurants are now going into a more formal setting and setup. So Mission Barbecue, Panera, Chipotle, they can set it up beautifully. You mm-hmm. would never know. It's from the restaurant down the street.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a way you can save. A lot of other venues, they require you to use either their in-house caterer or somebody on their preferred list.
Mm-hmm.
We do not. You're welcome to have your grandma cook some food. If she wants to cook it for your wedding, she is welcome to.
Now, I guess this kind of goes into, I wouldn't call it the historic Oakland preferred list, but when you go on a tour, you get a nice little list of people that we've worked with before.
Yep.
In saying that, those are typically all of them are at the wedding showcase?
Yep. So the resource list that we have are vendors who have came to our showcase in the past.
Okay.
So that is one of the bonuses they receive as signing up for being a vendor. And this year's showcase is Sunday, April 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. $5 in advance, $10 at the door. And we are going to have over 50 vendors. Tons of samples, okay. tons of information. It's kind of like a one-stop shop.
Are you still, for vendors that could possibly be listening, is it too late to get on board for this one?
It is not. I would say we have vendor slots open for the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so we're talking
we are like... pretty filled. We have, I would say, less than 5 spaces available.
Okay.
But we are still looking for a few.
And the kinds of vendors are, you know...
They range from everything from photography, bakeries, limousine service. We have calligraphy artists if you want personalized invitations. We have travel agents, florists, hotels, jewelry shops. I mean, you name it, they're coming.
Nice, nice.
We even have a few giveaways. We have a jewelry giveaway for a few hundred dollars worth. We have overnight stays at hotels. And all you need to do to be entered is come to the showcase.
So last year, the wedding showcase was one of the first events I ever worked. Because I got hired, I think March was like my training month. And then
they
April,
threw you in.
Yeah. And I remember I started working at like a super busy time of the year. I was having a blast.
Yeah, it's really fun. I've been there 4 years. I've never missed a showcase. Like, I have to be there. It's one of my favorite events.
Well, they even had, I remember last year they had a lady. She was near the staircase on the right when you come in, and it was like, I don't know what the term, like reclaimed wedding gowns, like it was where she would take wedding gowns and like just clean them up, make them look a little bit,
yes,
and she would sell them. So I thought that was really cool as well.
I do believe we have, I'm not sure if it's the same vendor, but something very similar. So if you still need a wedding dress, definitely a cheaper option, still beautiful, just as gorgeous as any other wedding dress.
So why should brides and grooms come out to the event?
Well, because we are a one-stop shop. What I hear the most from our brides and grooms is that it's so much that goes into wedding planning. Mm-hmm. So many details that you forget, so many different bills that end up popping up. So at our showcase, we not only have event planners who will handle all of that for you, but you get to taste food from 10 different caterers, over 5 different photographers that you can check out their work. Everything you need will be at this showcase. Mm-hmm. So, and I always recommend if you can go to at least 2 or 3 of them, it saves you so much time.
It's a genius plan.
Yeah.
Because it's a way that Historic Oakland can get the venue out there and say, hey, look, we have this venue. But then it's also, you know, when you're planning a wedding, you know, one weekend you have to drive to Rockville to go try a caterer. Uh-huh. And then once you leave there, well, we have a meeting with a baker in Silver Spring. And it's like you're driving all over Maryland.
All over the place. It's so time consuming.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a... That is a very nice, definite plus.
Yes.
And I think it helps everybody involved in that situation. How, so do vendors contact you to sign up or contact?
Yep, they can go either contact me directly, 410-730-4801, or you can go right on Eventbrite, type in Historic Oakland, and sign up right there.
Now, I know you have these little, that we've been giving out on the tours, they're these little wedding and event showcase flyers, cards,
yes,
postcards, something like that.
Yep.
And there is a free ticket on the back of those.
Yep. So everybody who comes in for a tour gets a free ticket to the showcase. And I also believe you have a few that you are going to give away.
Yes. Yes. And then it's $5 in advance, $10
at the door. You can register again right on Eventbrite.
Okay. I was going to say, is that, and that's where you can make your payment and...
Yep.
I guess there will be like a receipt you can print out or something.
Yep. So what will happen, you'll get an email and you'll get a little barcode and just bring that. I can just scan it right from your phone when you come to the showcase.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Easy peasy.
What are some of the benefits of the vendors coming in and doing this?
So for the vendors, we get over 400 attendees each year, and it gives them a ton of exposure. In-person exposure, as well as we advertise them on all of our social media leading up to the showcase. We advertise them year-round afterwards. You are put on our, again, resource list all year-round that goes into all of our tour packets, and it stays on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And we advertise you during every tour that we give.
That is something. You know, we have that sheet. It's right behind the information that we take down.
Yep. And on our social media, we do a vendor spotlight. So leading up to this showcase, we're doing it currently. Just a little posts on all of their information, a few pictures on their products that they will be selling or bringing to the showcase, just to give you an idea of what everyone has to offer.
And just from the viewpoint of someone who does tours, I mean, I've had people come in and, you know, I tell them, well, you don't have to choose anybody off this list. And they go, well, out of the events that you've worked, which ones do you like?
Right. And you can give our personal recommendation.
Yeah. And I always tell people, you know, it really depends. And whenever I give a tour, I'm like, it could be as, and no offense to Mission Barbecue, I think Mission Barbecue is delicious, but in the wedding catering world, you know, I was like, it could be as small as Mission Barbecue. It could be as high as, you know,
11 courses catering or absolutely perfect. Yeah, you can get as formal, as non-formal as you like. It's all about what you want for your big
day. I think
that's
really awesome because I think some venues, you know, may be nice, but they're a little bit more controlling. And
you're going to pay for that control.
To an extent, you know, is like, okay, they take it out of our... Like, oh, I don't have to think about it now, you know? But then also it's like, no, man, I want some brisket.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And all of your creativity is gone. You have to pretty much just go with what they have. With us, again, since we're also a community center, we're a blank canvas. You bring in what's personal to you and your partner, and you make it work. And we help you with that.
So when people go on Eventbrite, will there be a list of vendors expected to be there?
There is. Okay. There's a few of them. And if you want to follow us on social media, our Instagram is Historic Oakland Events, has a list of all of our vendors.
Okay.
That will also be there.
Do you have Twitter, Facebook, or anything?
We do.
Like that?
Our Facebook is Historic Manor at Town Center. Our Twitter is Historic Oakland. And again, our Instagram is Historic Oakland Events.
And just to slide slightly off of that, people can tour. You give tours during the day.
We do. During the week, we do tours up until 8 o'clock at night and occasionally on the weekends when we do have staff available.
Okay. And they would contact you to book a tour?
Yep.
So how do they contact you for either more information on this event, to book a tour, any questions about rules?
Sure. So you can give me a call, 410-730-4801, or feel free to email me, info@historic-oakland.com.
Well, Latasha, I know you were a little nervous about this. I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
I'm out of questions.
Great.
I'm out of questions.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Hey, I'm glad to have you. I mean, we talk when normally we have the crossover period.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm coming in and you're leaving.
Yep.
And we talk, and I probably keep you from leaving work.
I love it.
But it's nice to have you in here. I believe in Historic Oakland. I'm planning and lobbying for that where to be my wedding will be. So I am a little biased.
Yeah.
But I like
rightfully
it.
It's a 200-year-old mansion. You know, it's tucked away, it's romantic, it's cute, you know.
Yeah.
It's something different other than a hall.
Yeah.
Your typical hall.
Agreed. Yeah. And I've had people say that on tours before where it's like, I just didn't want to do a ballroom at a hotel or it's a nice.
So you have that option because we still do have a ballroom.
Yeah.
But it's in a huge house.
Exactly. And it's not the typical like hotel ballroom kind of. Yeah. No, I agree. And it's for me, I think it's the perfect size for like a medium size wedding.
Agreed.
And
and we also have a tent. So if you do have a larger wedding, we can also accommodate that.
That is true. Well, I'd like to thank the facility coordinator, Latasha Fisher, for coming in with me today to talk about Historic Oakland Manor and their wedding showcase, which is Sunday, April 15th. What the time?
1 p.m. to 4 p.m.
1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So it will be a fast-paced 3 hours. I know from employee perspective, it's intense. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be back on Howard County Journal.
Safety and trust is something everyone wants out of a relationship. Ensuring you and your partner have been tested for sexually transmitted diseases can help with that. Unfortunately, young adults ages 15 to 24 account for more than half of the new cases of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV in Howard County. Prevention is so much better than infection. Get tested. For more information, visit teenhealthmatters.org or call 410-313-7500 to schedule a free and confidential appointment at the Howard County Health Department.
Let's take it slow.
That's it for our show today. Thanks to our producers and guests, not only for taking the time to speak with us, but also for your commitment to our youth and their education, for bringing us fun activities to entertain ourselves, and for connecting history to some of the most special moments in our lives. Don't forget to connect with us through social media. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us under Dragon Digital Radio. Also, check out our podcast page where you can find this episode of Hoka Journal and share it with your friends and family. You just have to go to dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. If you would like to come in and share your story, contact me, Cris Oviedo at moviedo@howardcc.edu, or you can connect with me via Facebook at my page, Cris Oviedo. Enjoy, celebrate, and continue to make a positive impact wherever you go. Until next month, I am Cris Oviedo.